I'd like to invite you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 1. The book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 1. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, we call upon you to guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you. And, Lord, that we might understand the truths in our text tonight, that you might be glorified, Lord, and our faith strengthened and our lives drawn closer to you. And, Lord, that we might be a vessel for your honor and glory. Again, bless your word tonight, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply a question: what are we seeking from God? What are we seeking from God? Are we looking for a temporal fix or an eternal find? A temporal fix will only take care of our never-ending, short-lived problems on earth, but an eternal find will give us everything we need for this life and a life-changing relationship with our God that will carry over into eternity. So there's more when we seek the eternal things than just the temporary fixes of this world. And so, what are we seeking for? Sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, what am I looking for in my relationship with the Lord? It's a good thing to take inventory. Businesses do that all the time. Do you wonder why? Why would a business take inventory? Because our gains and our losses can get away on us if we're not careful. We need to take inventory of our relationship with the Lord, with one another, to make sure that they're what they need to be. I want to look at a couple of thoughts tonight, and that is simply God's mercy and grace, God's command, human reasoning, and the centurion's display of faith. Four thoughts tonight, and we'll look at what you'll see always through the Word of God. I think you'll always see God's mercy and grace as you consider everything that God is doing, because He is mercy and grace. And so we'll see that theme here. But let's look at this command here that He gave to this leper. Remember, He came to him, and He says in verse 4, Jesus saith unto him, because he put forth his hand and he touched him, so he displayed faith. And in verse 3, the Lord says, be clean. And immediately the Bible says that his leprosy was cleansed. Now, you have to remember this. Leprosy was always typified by a sin in the individual's life. And so this was really a cleansing that had to come from the Lord. And it says here in verse 4, and Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So he was telling this man to take care of the business that he needed to take care of with the priest there. And they had to declare him cleansed, because if he was declared a leper, he was supposed to stay away from everybody and could not come into a right fellowship, really, with people because of his leprosy until that was cleansed. And so this is what God had commanded him to do. Now, I want you to hold your place here because we are going to come back, but I do want to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, just one gospel over, chapter 1, and we have the same account here, Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40. And I have had people at different times, been many years now, why? Why did the Lord not want him to tell anybody? You ever stop to think about that? Why the Lord tells people, don't say anything? Well, here's the truth in the matter. We may not know why, but God does. God may ask us to do something, and we may not know why. Shall we not do it because we don't know why? That doesn't display faith, does it? God told Abraham to go, and I'll show you the way. I'll show you where I want you to go. He didn't lay it out for him. And the same way with the Israelites, when he told them to go out of Egypt, I'll lead you, I'll guide you. And the reason being primarily, I'm convinced of, is because it requires faith or trust on our behalf. And by the way, we're putting our faith and trust in the all-knowing God who created everything and knows everything. So that displays whether or not we really trust the Lord, even when we don't understand. And that's important because God, I think we're going to see why he didn't want him to say anything. But nonetheless, he did command this man to go and make the offering, present himself before the priest and pay the offering and to not say a word. So look at verse 40 with me. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down. So you see the word worshiping in the other text, and that, this is a form of worship. So he's kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had the right kind of faith, didn't he? And so this is Mark 1:40, verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, it's always mercy and grace on the behalf of God, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith to him, see, thou say nothing to any man. Now, this man probably did not understand. But one thing that we don't do is we don't do God any favors to disobey his command. We don't do him any favors. So, wait a minute, isn't he trying to get recognition? Is that why Jesus came to the world? To get recognition? Or to seek and to save that which was lost? And so he says, don't tell any man, say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, this is what Jesus was saying. He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So he's fulfilling the law and asking this man to follow suit as well. But notice what happens here in verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it a little or much. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was going out, and maybe in his own mind, conjecture on my part, I'm going to do God a favor. And whenever there's disobedience to the word of God, to the command of God, we're not doing God any favors at all. So he published it much, and he blazed abroad the matter. You'd think, my goodness, what a, we would say today, a trailblazer. But look what happens here. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. But he was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, the Lord's work is going to continue on, but whether or not we're obedient to what he's commanding us is a completely other story. You know, it's a different story. And it's not that God is patient, but you know what? I'm convinced it's not a good idea to take advantage of God's gentleness, kindness, and meekness, because disobedience, any way you slice it, is disobedience. And he disobeyed the Lord right here quite clearly and plainly. So now he's not able to enter the city, probably like was his plan. But there's always plan B with God, and so he stayed out in the desert, and he was able to minister out there. But that was not, so that man could have said, he could have looked at it this way. Well, you know, maybe I didn't obey, but praise God, he's still out there preaching the gospel, right? But did he personally obey the Lord? No, he did not. Was God merciful and gracious to him? Absolutely. And that is God's, I want to say character, but it's who he is. He is mercy. He is gracious. He is love. He is gentleness, he is kindness, he is all these things. He doesn't just do them, he is those things. And the way that what God wants us to do is to get those things from him. That can only come from a heart of humility that God has to create in the life of an individual. So here's this guy. I really don't know what he was thinking. If he thought he was going to do God a favor, if he could not contain himself, that's dangerous too. If we cannot contain ourselves, and we get in front of the Lord, and that's exactly what he did here. So we see God's command. He told him what to do. We find, I'm just going to label it as human reasoning. I don't know what brought it about, but somewhere he made this decision. This is what I'm going to do. Did he not? I know what God said, but that works out well, doesn't it? I know what God says, but it's not going to match up in my life. I know what God is asking me to do, But God's going to overlook it, or we excuse it one way or another. And what that really reveals is not a heart of submissiveness, does it? It ought to grieve us when we disobey, even in the littlest command. So let me back you up here to the Gospel of Matthew here just for a few more moments. Matthew chapter 8. And I want you to see the centurion's display of faith. And this is honoring the Lord. This is an amazing contrast, really. God did two good things. One for somebody who did not honor him, and one for somebody who displayed something that, listen, marveled. It marveled God. This is amazing. Look with me, if you will, in verse 5. We pick up the story here, and we find this centurion's plea here. And he says in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The centurion. That means he's a soldier over how many people? 100, right? And so he comes beseeching him and saying, Lord. That's a good display of faith. He is acknowledging Jesus as Lord. Lord, my servant layeth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So he displayed, he revealed this need in the centurion's life on the behalf of a servant. That's pretty compassionate. He was caring about a servant. And so he approaches the Lord. He went out of his way to seek out the Lord, calling him Lord, I'm convinced, believing him to be the Lord, asking him, believing also that he could heal his servant. And so look at the Lord's answer here in verse 7. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, there would have been nothing wrong if it would have just been left like that. But I want you to see what God wants us to see, and that is this display of faith on the behalf of this centurion. The centurion in verse 8 answered, right? We're going to see the honor now. Answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Wow. I am not worthy. Do you know who this man is? He is a leader of men. Do this, do that. He himself went up through the ranks being disciplined, earning this rank. Can you imagine, you know, like a colonel or something? I am not worthy, he's saying, for you to come into my house, under my roof. But notice what he says in verse 8. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then he goes on and explains his understanding of who God is. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and guess what he does? He goeth. And to another, come, and guess what he does? He cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So he is relating his understanding of God's position to the authority that he's understanding. And notice this. When Jesus heard it, what did he do? God marveled. Do you know that God can marvel when we are led of the Spirit to do things? What does that require? That requires us yielding, denying self, and yielding and hearing God clearly, and not making excuses, but saying, God, you are my Lord. I will follow what you say. And in order to follow what God says, self has to be dealt with. It has to die. I would dare say in the first four verses, in that man, in the leprous man, self was not dealt with. So he said, I'm going to do God a favor. No, he didn't. He disobeyed God. No way around it. And so he says in verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily or truly I say unto you, listen to this, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, where it should have been found. I didn't find it amongst God's people. I found it in this centurion. I'm telling you, I found faith that I've not seen that stopped me in my tracks. Do you know,
as we submit ourselves before the Lord, He is greatly honored to where He marvels. You know why He marvels? Because He knows that we're dealing with self. He knows, because He was also in the flesh, He knows the power of the flesh. Remember when He was going to the cross? Father, if it be possible to remove this cup. And then the Spirit, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knows that struggle. And so He marveled here at this centurion. And He says, I haven't found this in Israel. And then notice very quickly in verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come to me from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the rejection of Israel. I don't understand it all, but you know, there's many when the Lord was crucified that died with rejecting the Lord. And they were part of the promise of God, but they had rejected. They were so close. They had their hand on the threshold, but never entered in. They had their hand on the threshold. They were closest of all people, and yet a million miles away. And then lastly, notice what He says right here. He says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Verse 12, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, listen to this, go thy way, listen to this, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that selfsame hour. Isn't that amazing? What God wants to do in your life and mine. So tonight, what are we seeking for? God wants us to seek for Him and not ourselves. The Bible says that the fool does nothing but to seek himself out. Himself, all about me. And you know, self, think about some of the secular music and what's its central focus. It's not God. It's self. And look at the arrogance and the pride. I don't say this, and I hope maybe there was some miraculous intervention here on the behalf of Frank Sinatra, who said, I did it whose way? I did it my way. And my goodness, you know, and everybody loved that song. No, it's not about my way. It's about God's way. Why? Because that's eternal. We're just passing through. And if I'm telling you, in a blink of an eye, we'll be in eternity. I know we have many more years or until the Lord comes back. Nobody gets to go home until the Lord comes back. I wish I could say that be so. Amen? But God knows better than all of us. But everything is set in motion. I don't know if it's this year, 10 years, but we ought to walk with the Lord to expect Him at any moment because He's worthy of that. The centurion walked in that kind of faith, didn't he? He said, I understand my life, and I honor you to a greater degree. He didn't say all that in specific words, but he did say it in enough words where God marveled. And you and I can submit ourselves to the Lord, Him understanding the struggle of the flesh, and by the grace of God and the power of God, wouldn't that be a place to aspire that God might be so pleased with us that He is amazed? Because suffice it to say, that kind of faith is rare. Can we say that? That kind of faith is rare. So let me ask you the question tonight that comes to mind. Do you want that rare kind of faith? God invites us to take hold of that rare kind of faith, and it can be found in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder, Lord, of Your blessings and Your will, and Lord, what You want to do in and through us. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts and that You would draw us closer to You, that we might experience Your grace in a life-changing way, Your presence and a relationship with You in a powerful way. Bless the invitation. Bless each one. Bless Northwood Baptist Church to seek you that way. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.